Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. Tell your next door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass. Macca.
Thank you, Tass. And it is my great pleasure to welcome on the line Lord Mayor Sally Capp. Good morning, Sally. Again.
Good morning. Good morning again. It was lovely to see you at a social distance.
It was.
As brief as it was actually just such a lovely thing to see you.
Yeah.
I realised listening to you that it wasn't actually me, was it? It was the donuts. The American donuts, by the way, Macca. American.
Yeah. American.
Not Spanish, Macca.
Yeah.
Well, the man, they say the way to a person's heart is through their stomach.
That's correct.
So, which is actually wrong because the stomach's below the heart. It should be the other way, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, thank you, Sally. They were gorgeous.
Pleasure.
They were beautiful. Tass is now able to speak. He crammed two in his mouth at one time almost.
Well, if you can do it.
Oh, yeah, he can.
Well, my mouth could accommodate it, but I'm not sure that my waistline can.
So, Sally, wanted to kick off, if we could. You know, we're now quite a few months in, and
how are you surviving,
yeah,
Sally?
How are you coping?
Well, as people know, they're very long days. We've got lots of hardship where we're trying to support people and businesses, and so it makes it. You know, there are moments of complete distress, and those are the sorts of moments that, unfortunately, I feel like, you know, we're going to be dealing with them for some time. The other side of the coin is that at the City of Melbourne, other levels of government, other organisations, people are really trying their best to help, and that brings moments of joy. So, you know, we have those balances throughout the day. But it's a very extreme world we're living in at the moment, and we know that we've all just got to keep doing our best to help. There are so many amazing stories out there of people doing incredible things and going above and beyond. And that's one of the reasons, actually, why we've turned our Melbourne Awards this year into the Community Champions Awards, so that we can recognise all those fantastic efforts.
Yeah, that's lovely.
So how do those awards work, Sally?
Well, we're calling on nominations. They've actually just opened, and we're looking for some amazing stories from people where they feel so grateful. And part of what started this is that I've been receiving emails, other councillors, our CEOs, from members of the public saying, we want you to know about this amazing neighbour who's gone out of their way to help us. It could be doing groceries, it could be cooking, it could be mowing lawns and keeping gardens nice. We've heard of emergency services workers who, or essential services, I should say, who have gone out of their way over and above their shifts to show kindness and care. We've heard stories of local businesses who, you know, at times when they are struggling so much, have been incredibly generous with what they've been doing to people in need across the community, particularly in terms of providing food. So it's those sorts of stories we want to capture.
So anybody can put an application. Anybody can put an application.
Yeah. You could nominate yourself, or you can nominate someone else.
Oh. But I feel like nominating the lovely person that delivered some donuts to me this morning.
Yeah. Can you get it? Can we nominate you for an award, or are you on the panel?
I think it's acts a little bit beyond that. Thank you. look, there are, I'm sure you've heard lots of stories, or you've experienced some of those things yourself. So nominations are open until the 7th of August, and then we'll celebrate in November. We might not be able to all get together, but certainly I think sharing some of those types of stories at the moment is really important.
And I think we should remind our listeners about this, Macca. Sally, I wanted to ask you about, in your capacity as Mayor of Melbourne. Lord Mayor of Melbourne, you have clearly a helicopter view of what's occurring right across the city. What's been the sort of economic impact of this COVID-19 virus on the city?
Yes, and there are lots of parts of even Greater Melbourne, and I think particularly of those neighbourhoods that are in lockdown at the moment and how that would have taken so many local businesses really to the next level in terms of economic hardship. But we know, and we've discussed before, we've had our pedestrian counts as low as 90% reduction on same time last year.
Wow.
And you've seen how quiet the streets are, even for a Saturday morning. You would have seen that this morning. And we've given out about 1,200 grants to businesses, artists, community organisations. And that's about a fifth of the number of applications or requests for help that we've received.
Wow.
So we've really disappointed more people than we've delighted. And that's just one of those key indicators of the sort of struggle that people are going through at the moment. And in addition to the grants, though, it is why, for example, we've announced that we're going ahead with Melbourne Music Week in November, or a form of it, so that we can start getting local artists and local venues organised and excited around events like that, which of course will have to be done in the frame of whatever rules are in place at the time. Hopefully they've been able to ease a little bit by then, but nonetheless to start to attract people back and have them thinking about and planning for activities in the city will be terrific.
I did do
the Cherry Bar a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yes.
And they're allowed 20 people inside. And I said to James Young, I thought it was terrific that he still had Tyrone the bouncer on the door, given only 20 people were coming. And he said, Sal, there to keep them in. given I was there, Jang.
I was going to say, Sally, I have a personal anecdote of all of this. During the week, I decided to take myself on a little trip into the city and pop into NGV at Fed Square. And I was particularly keen to see the Destiny Deacon retrospective exhibition. Unfortunately, it doesn't open until 3 weeks' time. So I stuffed up big time, had a very, very unhappy partner with me. So I thought I need to make it up somehow. Went for a walk around the block. This is around Flinders Street and Flinders Lane. And honestly, I've never, ever seen even Hosier Lane so quiet. Yes. You're usually at about lunchtime. It is bustling with people and tourists sort of taking photographs and posing and looking at the artwork, and there was nobody around. And then I said to Ian, why don't we just pop into a restaurant? And we popped into Movida, and I couldn't believe it. They actually had an opening. They only had 17 people in the restaurant. So we had an extraordinary lunch in a fabulous, iconic place in Melbourne. In the midst of all the gloom and doom and sadness of an empty city, it was sort of like a jewel in a really sort of funny crown, if you know what I mean.
Well, thank you for doing that. And you're right. I think if you look inside the windows, we can see activity happening. And we've actually been working with a lot of our traders to see if we can extend their outdoor dining areas so that we have that sense of the hustle and bustle of the city coming back even a little bit.
I actually had lunch at Chin Chin. Same situation. Was someone having a bit of a meeting, and we thought, we'll have something to eat. Or anyway, we were virtually outside Chin Chin, and we went in, and yes, they had a table.
There you go.
And it was fantastic.
Well, it'd be the first time you haven't had to queue.
I know.
Well, I have to confess, we did walk up to Chin Chin, and there wasn't a queue, but they said, we think there might be an opening in about an hour's time. And I thought, oh, look,
Yeah, it was just fortunate. Talking about food and places to go, I see that there's going to be some new red and gold lanterns in Chinatown. Are they being installed now, Sally? That's a great initiative.
Yes, as we speak, yeah. Hope to have them finished by the end of July. They look spectacular. We've gone with a new material because, unfortunately, with the lanterns, when they're fabric, they tend to wear very easily. And so this is reinforced steel in beautiful Chinese red. And our Chinatown, of course, really were... That precinct was one of the first hit.
Yeah.
And
it was hit very, very early, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah. So the traders who are open, we did Yum Cha last Sunday and it was fantastic. It's terrific that people, and you've just told some great stories about enjoying our restaurants. Of course, it's such reduced capacity, but nonetheless, if you can, if you can come in, know that our restaurants are going out of their way to be compliant and safe.
They
and
are.
Keep the numbers and, yeah, all of those sorts of things. So if you can do it. But Chinatown is going to look spectacular just as hopefully those restrictions are easing and people can come in numbers.
As will Lygon Street. Are you guys got some, all the council got some fetish for street lights? Because you're doing some work. There's also Lygon Street.
We are. Beautiful lighting down the middle of Lygon Street. Well, I love lighting. I think it adds such an amazing... perspective to streets. Obviously, in nighttime, they're a feature and attraction. They also add a lot to safety. It's just, some of these things have been in the planning for a little while and they're coming together at the same time, but it'll be terrific for Lygon Street as well.
I agree with you about lighting. I think there should be more of it everywhere, really.
Yes, let there be light.
Well, bud lighting in trees. I've got string lighting in my garden.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Do you need a permit from the People's Republic of Port Phillip for that light in your palm tree, Tass?
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Yes, I have a palm tree in my garden and I've uplit it. It looks spectacular at night. It's my pride and joy.
You're probably against... There's probably some local rule down there.
Uh-oh, I didn't think of that.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry.
Yeah.
They'll be out there.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9 with Macca and myself, Tass.
Thank you, Tass. And we are speaking with Lord Mayor Sally Capp. Sally, I want to talk about this new park. And it's up at the Market Street end of the city, isn't it?
Yes, so it runs from Collins Street down towards the river.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really about the size of our old city square.
Okay.
It's the biggest park we've done in the CBD in about 40 years. And it's exciting for lots of reasons. But have you been using your local park more during COVID?
I have.
Yeah.
And so I think people really appreciate how important these open spaces are more than ever.
I live opposite the Botanical Gardens in St Kilda, so I often go for a bit of a walk in the afternoon, put my plugs in and catch up on my phone calls while I'm walking around and getting a bit of exercise.
Mm. And we know that Melbourne will continue to be a growing city. The rate of growth is changing a little bit, but it'll still be growing, and so investing in these open spaces remains important.
So is this converting... Sally, is this converting Market Lane into
Market
a
Street.
Park or Market Street into a park?
Well, yeah, I was just going to say it's part of the street and part private land that we've been able to bring together. It really sits right next to the big new CBUS building that's called Pant Scraper.
Is that the arch?
447 Collins?
The arch.
Yep. Okay.
Sorry, that's what I should have called it. Thank you, Kat. I was over on South Bank side on Thursday morning having a look at some of our new bicycle lanes that have gone in, which were terrific, and looked north across the river, and that building is quite spectacular now. It's just about finished. And that means that we can get on with finalising the park. Lots of grass areas, lovely bluestone strolling areas, and places to relax and enjoy yourself. There'll be a little cafe there as well so people can stop and have a coffee and sit amongst the trees and the green and enjoy themselves.
So is that part of, from Collins Street turning left or right, depending which way you're coming into Market Street, is that going to be closed to cars?
Well, you can still travel south down Market Street.
Okay, right.
But you won't be able to travel north, and that's to Flinders Lane.
Yep.
That's and good. We yeah. did all of the usual traffic studies, etc. We made sure that the car parks that are along that part of the street can still open and operate. And we think being able to introduce, you know, almost 2,000 square metres of green open space in the city will be fantastic.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Now, speaking about being things green, I know that, you know, the City of Melbourne works pretty closely with the Victorian Government, and you're working on a plan to plant, is it 150,000 trees and shrubs and obviously some grasses?
Yes, and again, it's that same theme. In fact, there's been a lot of work recently on, you know, resilience and sustainability and how that can be right at the centre as we recover from COVID. We're Working for Victoria program that the state government started for many reasons, but mostly it's about creating employment opportunities. We did it with the cleaning the city, and then we've started this greening the city. And the cleaning the city started in the City of Melbourne, but it's now across, I think, almost 20 municipalities across Melbourne and Victoria. And the state government's doing a terrific job because none of our employees and a number of other sort of classes of workers don't qualify for JobKeeper right. or JobSeeker. And so being able to provide employment during COVID is really important. And if we can have those people helping us with ambitions around greening our city, for example, it's a win-win. And so they've already started, and 150,000, it feels a bit weird to say grasses. I must say I questioned it, but if you can imagine
different types of plants.
Native grasses and shrubs and thousands of trees have already been started to be planted across the city. I went and on day one and up into Royal Park, and I said I was helping. I don't think I really was. digging some holes and putting some plants in, just trays of beautiful shrubs and trees. And the number of people that stopped, they wanted to ask, see if they could help. They stopped to say thank you. They stopped to ask what was going on. It's been really appreciated so far, the fact that we're greening the city. So another good outcome, as the great oracle Homer Simpson once said, it's a crisis unity.
A crisis unity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got to make the most of it.
Now, I was going to ask Sally, you've got the City of Melbourne has two quarantine hotels within its borders. Is the council, does the council have any involvement with that at all, or is it purely a state government initiative, albeit a failed one?
Well, it is a state government initiative. We're obviously aware of the quarantine hotels, and our team coordinates in as much as is needed, particularly when, for example, the buses of people are coming from the airport and they might need some traffic management support, etc., around the hotels. I think this situation we're in at the moment is certainly not one that anybody would have planned or wanted. And I really feel for the municipalities and the neighbourhoods and the communities that are impacted. And I'm really hoping that this increased not just the action but also the awareness for all of us. All of us need to keep doing the right thing. And then we can start to see the restrictions ease. But if we don't all do the right thing, it doesn't just impact those communities. It does impact them hard, but it spreads right across. The hardship spreads right across everywhere else. So we all need to remain vigilant.
And Sally, I'm very...
How's that, Macca, for avoiding your comment?
I was going to say, well done for completely ignoring it, Sally. That bit of editorialism was so unnecessary.
Wait for 11
I'm
o'clock.
So naughty. So
I've been
typical of
you Macca. For a long time now. Yeah.
Honestly.
Wait for 11 o'clock. Selling.
Yeah, he's going to have another little tantrum.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got to put up with it, Sally. You can
I'm
probably...
glad I'm in the first hour.
clearly, this has been a really devastating... it's had a devastating impact on the whole of our city and the whole of our nation, really. One of our listeners, a regular actually, 3170, you've probably heard from before, asks Sally, what's Melbourne City Council going to do to encourage people to come back into the city again?
It's a great question. Of course, we have to balance it at the moment with making sure that everyone's adhering to the restrictions. I mentioned Melbourne Music Week earlier. We've got some of our other major events that we run that we're looking at in terms of Fashion Week, what's going to be planned for New Year's Eve. We're coordinating in with some of the other organisations, such as Tennis Australia, who are not sure yet exactly what they're going to be able to do in terms of welcoming people, but are planning across a number of scenarios. And there are so many great industry organisations, such as Live Performance Australia. There's a new one called Live Events Industry Forum, LAIF, which I always remember LAIF, Garrett. I'm really showing my age now, but I remember acronyms. And all of those sorts of industry organisations representing their members and saying, this is how we need help. And I think really getting the message out there, as you two have done today, is if you can come into the city safely, or you can visit your local cafe safely, do. Because for the people that are open, they are working their guts out to keep their premises clean, to be compliant, to provide work for people, and to try and make a bit of a living during very difficult times.
Hear, hear.
Now, you may not be aware of this, Sally. Martin Foley has just announced in the last half hour or so, Victorian Live Music Venues Program, which has got $15 million in funding. And, he acknowledges, of course, that, well, not of course, live music is part of the DNA of our state and our city. And it's going to be open to venues across Victoria with capacities from 50 to 1,200. Applications are from the 16th of July to the 6th of August. So that follows on, that's really complementary to the work that the City of Melbourne's doing. So that's a really encouraging thing to see.
Great. And look, for our live music venues, pubs that have, that rely on live music, they have been really the hardest hit because a lot of the easing of restrictions so far has very much been around sitting at a table and that controlled environment. And I know Martin's been very involved, Minister Foley, with discussions with live music venues just to understand their particular circumstances and know that, they're going to be sort of, one of the last groups to come out of this. So any help that we can provide in between, even if it makes listening to music instead of sort of dancing in the mosh pit, you're sitting at a table with your toes tapping, even that can help.
I miss all of that. I miss live music. I miss theatre. I miss going to galleries. I just can't wait to be able to get out again. But all in due course, and of course we need to keep on keeping safe. Sally, last time we spoke, we had a conversation about the supervised injecting facility in Melbourne. And I'm just wondering, there was some discussion in the media about council debating this. And I was wondering if you can just remind us where Melbourne City Council landed on the on Melbourne's second supervised injecting room.
Well, it's a very complex and controversial issue, but we, as a city council, we agreed on a few things. One, we acknowledged the report from the experts that show that safe injecting rooms save lives, or medically supervised injecting rooms save lives. And Tass, I know you'll know more about that than I do. Identified Melbourne as an area that would benefit from having a medically supervised injecting room. Acknowledged that the report from the experts doesn't actually identify a particular spot. The state government has nominated a preferred spot, but also said that that's open to consultation.
Yes.
And that's what we're now focused on, is a process where we can work with the state government to make sure that consultation includes sharing of the data and evidence, that it includes stakeholder. I really don't like that word. It's really making sure we understand the views of residents and businesses and locals. And it's also important that we have impact assessments, et cetera. That was a big thing that came through from the report. We find it difficult to understand why that preferred site on Victoria Street was identified by the state government, but we want to work with them to actually see that evidence and then to be able to look at alternate sites. But wherever it goes, we need to be able to provide everybody with the confidence that the all of the evidence has been examined, that people have been consulted, and that we've ended up with the most appropriate site. And it needs to be transparent so we can understand that. And that's what we're hoping to do. We had a forum with the local residents on Wednesday night at the preferred site, and it was just startling to see the fear and the anger and the concern and the emotion.
Wow.
And I think, you know, it's always important that we go in and we have those conversations, because you know, sometimes we can sit behind desks and make decisions that look good on a map, but we've actually got to get in there and get the views and understand the particular circumstances, and that's what the forum did for us on Wednesday night. It really brought those issues to the fore, and I'm so grateful to those people for you know, for sharing their passion and maintaining those efforts to tell us exactly how they feel.
I think it's great.
Why they don't think it's appropriate.
I think it's great to hear the Melbourne City Council are supporting the idea and acknowledge the advice that's come from the experts, Professor Margaret Hamilton and her team. I think it's a very considered report. I did have a look at it myself. It was a very considered report. And I think the case for building a second facility, a second room, is, you know, I think it's pretty solid, actually. I do wonder, though, with the government actually identifying a location, by actually front-footing that, what they're doing is they're actually putting their feet on the ground and saying, this is what we're going to do. If they actually did say, we're going to have a second one in the city and ask for people to come up with ideas, perhaps you may not ever come up with anything. So this way, at least, you've got a stick in the sand, and there can be some discussion around that, some debate around that, and it may move. It may move to another location that might be more appropriate. But at least we know what we're working with, rather than not knowing what we're working with and having a decision that's been made. I see the benefit is that by government announcing a location, you actually have perhaps a commitment to improve the amenity, improve the facilities, improve the way it might work, the way people come and go from that location. I see that as being one of the benefits.
Well, that's good insight.
Who owns that building, the preferred site, Sally? Who owns it?
Yeah, so it's Housing Choices Australia and the City of Melbourne.
Okay.
And there are CoHealth is there at the moment, mm-hmm. providing terrific services. It has been.
They are a community health service, Macca.
Yeah.
Yes, they're terrific. We have had one of the fever clinics there. It hasn't been utilised, but that was one of the places for COVID fever clinics. It has housing choices, affordable housing upstairs, with an incredible community of people that live there, and we have our multicultural hub located there as well. It is in that precinct of Queen Victoria Market, and we do have a new maternal and childcare health service going in across the road, and a few other things happening around there, of course, in terms of one of our fastest growing neighbourhoods for residents. So there are a lot of different views. But look, I hear what Cass said, and I understand that. I think the important thing is that we can keep talking and making sure that the most appropriate site is identified.
Yeah. Sally, we're almost out of time, but I have to say, we've had a message from one of our listeners, the gorgeous Melina, who says, and I'm reading this out to you, Sally. She says, I quote, "Sally is such a great inspiration for emerging female leaders, especially in challenging times. keep up the great work. And I think in many ways she actually represents the sentiment in this studio this morning and on many other occasions when we meet with you. So thank you for your time.
Particularly when you bring us donuts.
Oh, yeah, keep that up. Keep that up. Sally, thank you very much for your time. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and
thank
keep
you.
Up the great work.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.